Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can also access us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resources that we talk about on the broadcast, do remember once again, you can access on the web, equip.org. I was reading an article in USA Today a couple of days ago. It was titled "Pandemic Spurs Big Questions About Faith." And this particular article features a Christian theologian named Thomas J. Ord, who is attempting to answer the question, if God is good, then why does the coronavirus exist? And according to Ord, there are a lot of bad answers to that question, and he gives what he thinks are three bad answers in particular, the first of which is that the coronavirus is an example of God using natural evil to punish the world, a view which Ord rejects because God's a God of love, and therefore he's not in the business of doing evil. The second bad answer to the question cited by Ord is that God didn't cause the coronavirus, but he did allow the coronavirus. According to Ord, this second notion doesn't make any logical sense. Why? Well, because letting something horrible happen goes against God's very nature. One final bad answer cited by Ord is God's relation to the coronavirus is, well, simply shrouded in mystery, a notion that Ord resolutely rejects. So the real answer to the conundrum posed by Ord is that God cannot prevent the coronavirus without our participation, without our cooperation. This, says Ord, is the only tenable option because it coheres with the overarching maxim that God is a God of love. So the question you as a Christian, when you're reading an article like that, ought to be asking yourself is this theologian right? Or could he be mistaken? Well, to assert, as Ord does, that God is merely a God of love is hardly a full-orbed way of describing the God who has revealed himself in Scripture. Yes, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. You know, the prophet Isaiah underscores this when he says that God forms the light and God creates the darkness. He makes peace and he creates calamity. Of course, these words from Isaiah 45 form what is linguistically described as an antithetical parallelism. In other words, light stands in contrast to darkness, and peace stands in contrast to calamity or disaster, which ultimately entails God's judgment in response to our sin. Ord, I would say, is also somewhat short-sighted in rejecting the notion that the coronavirus is shrouded in mystery. Now, though neither you nor I can rightly ascertain God's specific purposes in the midst of a specific natural calamity, There are eternal verities that penetrate the cloud of mystery and that reveal God's eternal purposes for humanity, which He has created in His image and has designed to grow in His likeness. And principal among those verities is that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. C.S. Lewis was so poignant when he said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but He shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And thus we might rightly say that God is using the coronavirus to awaken people to the true meaning and the true purpose of life, not only in this world, but also in the age to come. Now, all of this raises the operative question, why are there moral or natural evils in this world to begin with? Now, while many suppose that there are as many answers to this question as there are people in the world, in reality, when you boil it all down, there are only three. The first is pantheism. The second is philosophical naturalism. And the third, theism. Pantheism denies the ultimate existence of good and evil. Why? Because with pantheism, God is all, and all is God. So that leaves us with the next option, philosophical naturalism. This is, by the way, the worldview that undergirds evolutionism. And it supposes that everything is a function of random material processes. And thus, in this worldview, there is no such thing as good and evil. Obviously, if the material facts fix all the facts, then you don't have such things as good and evil, because everything is just a function of molecules in motion. Well, all of that leaves us with only one relevant response, and only Christian theism can rightly answer the question satisfactorily. So you have pantheism, you have philosophical naturalism, and you have Christian theism, and only Christian theism understands the answer in a way that satisfies us. Why do I say that? Well, for three reasons. Christian theism acknowledges that God created the potential for evil when He created humans with freedom of choice. We choose to love or hate. We choose to do good or evil. And the history of humanity bears eloquent testimony to the fact that humans of their own free choices, of their own free will, have actualized the reality of evil through their ungodly choices. Secondly, without choice, love is rendered meaningless. I've said it before, I'll say it again. God is neither a cosmic rapist who forces His love on people, nor is He a cosmic puppeteer who forces people to love Him. Instead, God, the very personification of love, grants us freedom of choice. And without such freedom, we would be little more than pre-programmed robots. The third reason that theism alone has a relevant response is the fact that God created the potential for evil by granting you and I freedom of choice, and that will ultimately lead to the best of all possible worlds, a world in which there will be no more death, there will be no more mourning, there will be no more crying and no more pain, In fact, it will be a world without the coronavirus. Those who choose Christ will be redeemed from evil by His goodness and will forever be free from sin. So out of this sin-sick world will come the best of all possible worlds. We're coming to the station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And a shout out to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And do remember, today the Western Church remembers the ultimate betrayal. We'll talk a little bit about that when I come back.
Many Americans are concerned about religious freedom, feeling the culture changing around them and fearing that their Christian beliefs will soon be viewed as bigotry. In Free to Believe, Luke Goodrich offers a balanced, gospel-centered approach to religious freedom, applying biblical understanding to critical cultural issues of our day while offering practical steps Christians can take to respond to religious freedom conflicts. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Many Americans feel their religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing and fear their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich combines frontline experience with faithful attention to Scripture to show why religious freedom matters, how it is threatened, and how to protect it. With penetrating insights on gay rights, abortion, Islam, and the public square, Goodrich argues that threats to religious freedom are real, but they might not be quite what you think. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And it is hard to believe but true. Right now we are in the very middle of Holy Week for the Western Church. This past Sunday, Palm Sunday, Western Christians celebrated Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And on Monday, Christians worldwide remember the withered fig tree, symbolic of prosperity and peace, and yet withered because of its fruitlessness. Tuesday, or yesterday, our focus was on the vigilance of the wise virgins who, unlike their foolish sisters, were ready for the Lord's return. And today, well, today is a remembrance called Spy Wednesday. On most Wednesdays throughout the year, Christians fast in remembrance of Judas's betrayal of Jesus. On the Wednesday of Holy Week, great emphasis is given to Mary, the sister of Martha. You read about the story in John chapter 12, who comes to a full knowledge of the truth and is saved in contrast to the chosen disciple Judas, who conspires to betray the King of Truth and is thereby lost. Mary anoints Jesus with a very expensive perfume. Conversely, Judas Iscariot goes to the chief priests and he asks, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" Mary gave her all to Christ and prophetically anointed his body for burial. Judas betrayed Christ with a kiss for a mere 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave in the Old Testament. All of this is to say that Wednesday of Holy Week is forever remembered by the moniker I mentioned just a few moments ago, Spy Wednesday, because it was on this day that the scheme was conceived that would ultimately lead to the murder of Messiah. From the perspective of Judas, the anointing of Jesus with the oil of spikenard was a waste because he had little appreciation for the infinite value of the Creator of the cosmos. From the perspective of Mary, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and thus nothing bestowed upon the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, could ever be considered a waste. Tomorrow, Monday, Thursday, of course, we celebrate the Last Supper and what it means for us with respect to the Thanksgiving meal that we partake of week by week, year by year, by which we are energized to change the world. In fact, I'm thinking what I might do next week is give you an in-depth overview on each one of these days, because Holy Week so often comes and goes very, very quickly. And then we forget about it without ever really doing a deep dive into what each one of the days of Holy Week, from Palm Sunday on to the time of Christ's resurrection, encapsulates, what it means, and how it is portrayed and defined in the precious Word of God. Well, I'm thinking about doing that next week, because next week the Eastern Church celebrates Holy Week. It's a week after the celebration by the Western Church. I also wanted to do something today in terms of an email question that came in. It was an email question from John, who wrote in his email, "In the Bible, what does God mean when he says he is a jealous God? have a friend who thinks that means that God is all too human, and if God is all too human, God is not worthy of being worshipped. So John says, how should I respond to my friend? Well, the response is, well, on the one hand, simple. On the other, it has some complexity. Because God is indeed referred to in Scripture as jealous. Make no mistake about it. That's exactly how God is referred to in the pages of the Bible. In fact, the second commandment explicitly says that God is a jealous God. Remember in Exodus chapter 20, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven or on earth or in the waters below the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Why? Because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, that's not the only place in the Old Testament. Look at Exodus 34, for example. Do not worship any other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Not only is he a jealous God, but his name is jealous. So there is such a thing in Scripture as sanctified jealousy. And as such, jealousy is the proper response of a husband or a wife whose trust has been violated through infidelity. Indeed, when an exclusive covenant relationship is dishonored, sanctified jealousy is the passionate zeal that fights to restore that holy union. The jealousy of God for his holy name and for the exclusive worship of his people, as such, is sanctified jealousy. Now, just as there is sanctified jealousy, and I'll do a little alliteration here to make it easy to remember, so too there is sinful jealousy. And in that sense, jealousy is painfully coveting another's advantages. And according to the Apostle Paul, jealousy is an act of the sinful nature. And he delineates that in Scripture when he says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then he goes through a whole list of them. You probably have them in your mind. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, the list goes on, fits of rage and selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and then Paul says, and the like. In other words, you can add to the list. As God personifies sanctified jealousy, so those who reflect his character must be jealous for the things of God. And the Bible's replete with heroes of the faith like Elijah and David, whose jealousy for God's glory motivated self-sacrifice and radical reform. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian church, I am jealous for you. And then he says, with a godly jealousy, I promised you to one husband, that one husband is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I promised you to that one husband so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. The quintessential example is found in the incarnate Christ, who exercised the epitome of sanctified jealousy. Remember, the scene is riveted in our minds. The Lord of glory in human flesh overturning the tables of money changers in the temple, a gesture condemning the Jewish leaders of his day for dishonoring God through their contemptible religiosity. So is God a jealous God? Absolutely. God is a jealous God. But the jealousy is not univocal, it is equivocal. There's sanctified jealousy. Sanctified jealousy, of course, good. And there's sinful jealousy, the very thing that we as Christians must avoid. Well, time flew by quickly. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcaster. Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And our resource of the month you can find on the web at equip.org, Free to Believe, The Battle for Religious Liberty in America, available for those who support the ministry and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. You can also write to CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.